from the corner. Yes! And a foul!
Is he having himself an afternoon?
Schneider feeling his third three already.
On the drive goes Patty Casey for the basket.
Backdoor cut, Schneider with the jam. This is Schneider in close and one.
Welcome to episode 16 of the Schneider Show with Patty Casey. Happy to be back, man. It's been another eventful week after the Denver game last week. But how you been, Patty?
I've been good. Again, same as last week. I haven't been as good as you, I guess. But pretty up and down week. We'll get all into it. Shout out. This is different, Schneider, because usually we tape the interview and then do this part. But we're actually going in line with how the clock works. And doing this first. So
there we are.
Buddy Boeheim will be on this episode, but we haven't talked to him yet, so we can't do the classic thing where we're like, oh, great interview with Buddy. I'm sure it will be, but maybe Buddy, what if Buddy sucks on the interview and we just have no idea?
I mean, Buddy's pretty consistent as a human being in general, but I mean, we'll see. I would bet that Buddy would bring another good interview. The reason why we're having Buddy on a second time, he's actually in LA. Our G League teams are playing against each other. Buddy's actually out right now. We'll get an update with him later. He's been out with turf toe recently, so hopefully he's back on the court soon. I know I'm missing watching him out there, but yeah, man. What were you gonna say, Patty?
Well, first of all, turf toe is like the worst injury. I never had it, but I mean, people always say it just sucks. So, Buddy, like, dealing with that sucks. But first reported by the Cole Swider Show with Patty Casey, we actually have breaking news coming from Buddy that you can hear later on.
Again, oh, we do?
Playing. Yeah, he's playing. I think he's back.
Oh, he's back?
I texted him before, and he was saying he's also on a minutes restriction, so we're just a podcast of minutes restriction at this point.
A podcast of just Syracuse lovers and minute restrictions.
Yeah, so Buddy's going to say that later. But, credit me as the first time reporting Buddy Bam is back on the court for the Motor City Cruise.
Wow.
That's actually a good question. I was going to ask both of you this, but you, before we talk to Buddy, he's probably your first, like, teammate, former teammate, good friend that you've played, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's definitely been guys that you know just from being, but, like, Buddy's, like, I mean, you're on a team with him. You've known him forever. Last year you guys went to war every day. Like, how do you kind of expect that to go?
Yeah, I'm excited. I mean, we'll see. I still don't know if I'm going to be down there Thursday. I know I'm active tomorrow for the Lakers game. So, I mean, depending on what the Lakers want me to do, hopefully I'll play tomorrow, I'll play well, and then I'm looking forward to Friday. But if not, I mean, I'd be excited to play against Buddy. Obviously, really, really great guy, really great friend. I'm actually going to get dinner with him after this, and I'm super excited to see him. I mean, you guys all know Buddy's a workhorse. Yeah. He's worked for everything he's gotten. And great dude, but yeah, man, it'll be exciting. I actually played against one of my high school teammates, but he played for the Ontario Clippers when we played against them. His name's Terrell Brown. We actually went to the same high school together, St. Andrews in Rhode Island. Legendary high school coach Mike Hart. So, but yeah, man.
But pretty eventful week for the LA Lakers, Wider. I mean, starting with since we last recorded. The Nuggets game and then the Mavs game, the next game. You got some early burn. I don't know if we want to get into that individually, but that was like one of the better games of the NBA all year.
Yeah, I think, I mean, whenever the Lakers play and obviously Luka and LeBron going at each other, it's obviously a show. And I did get some first quarter burn. It was kind of my welcome to the NBA moment.
Yeah, let's get into that. I thought we were going to like kind of lead into it, but there's a lot of people that have asked about your welcome to the NBA moment. I think it's either All the Smoke or Knuckleheads, one of those podcasts. All the Smoke is Matt Barnes, Steven Jackson, and Knuckleheads is Darius Miles, Quentin Richardson. I forget what it is. But they always ask every one of their NBA guests, like, their first question is, like, what's their welcome to the NBA moment? So I feel like every player remembers it. And you were texting me today, and you were like, I think I had my welcome to the NBA moment.
For sure. I really hadn't had it. I think my welcome to the NBA moment before the Luka experience was just seeing, like, LeBron and all these guys, you know what I mean? Just playing against them in practice and AD in practice and stuff. But I think just going against Luka. So first of all, I check into the game. Luka's still in the game. Luka plays like the whole entire first quarter, which is not normal. Like a lot of these superstars play like the first 8 minutes, sit out the last 4 minutes, play like 8 minutes, and then the last 2 minutes. So like they spread their minutes out evenly. Luka's playing the whole entire first quarter. So I check into the game, and Luka just like kind of like I think we're on offense the first possession. We go down, we score. I think Russ gets a layup, come back down the other end, and Luka's just like. Like he's pointing at me. Yeah. He's like finding me. So I come up. I'm guarding Tim Hardaway at the time. Tim Hardaway sets a screen. Mm-hmm. I give a tough show, and then Luka kind of like steps back, and then Tim Hardaway comes back and flips it again. So I show again. Luka throws a perfect pass to Tim Hardaway. Tim Hardaway hits a three. Mm-hmm. I'm like here, all right. It's only 1-3. He's not bad.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Whatever. Yeah.
Come down the next possession. Christian Wood hits a tough three on me off of a kick out from I think
top Jaden of the key, right?
Yeah, top of the key. Hits my hands right in his face. We call it early stick hand. My hands up, hits a tough shot, and then I think
a couple possessions go by. That was a pretty good contest, though. There wasn't much you could do there.
Good contest. A couple possessions go by. I think we get a couple stops here and there, and then I basically get. Lined up on a one-on-one. I end up getting switched on to Luka one-on-one. I think I'm guarding him pretty close. Watching the film, I guess I could have gotten up a little bit more, but I didn't want to foul him because that's the worst thing you can do as a rookie is foul a three-point shooter. And so I'm guarding him. I feel like I'm doing a good job. And one thing about Luka is that all NBA fans know this, but like he's not like the fastest guy. It's not like you're guarding Kyrie or not like you're guarding Ja Morant. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he's super... like lethargic, like I don't even know how to like. He's just super, just really good with his pace and rhythm. And but once he gets into that pat tween, he hit me with that left hand dribble, right hand little step back or right foot step back, and just right over my 6'9" length, he knocked it down. So after that, basically got taken out and. Didn't get another chance for that game, but it was a great experience for me. Obviously, Luka is the best offensive player in the world. It was great to get that experience, and just super, super thankful that Coach Ham put me in that situation. And I learned a lot from it. Just talking to my assistants after the game, I mean, like they thought I did a decent job. It's just sometimes the NBA players are good, and being a two-way guy, sometimes you don't get that second opportunity. But I mean, I'm just. Working and just trying to fix obviously all the things that I can to hopefully get my next chance with the Lakers. Yeah. Hopefully, it's coming up soon.
Yeah, it'll come at some point. But Luka plays. I was watching that game with my older brother, and I was like, the speed that he plays at that you're referring to. He looks like Swire. Like you know, if like say over, I don't know, the summer you're home. You're running the Cole Swider basketball camp. You got, like, I don't know, third through eighth graders. And, like, you're like, oh, I'll hop in the scrimmage. You know how you, like, go, like, 50%, like, kind of just, like, walk around, but then you start doing, like, cool dribble moves and you're still just scoring every time?
That's like an NBA game.
That's, like, how slow he plays. Like, he looks like he just has the sport completely figured out.
And it's funny because I think in the second half we started missing some shots, but it was like we finally made him guard a little bit because the Mavericks do such a great job of kind of hiding him because all the energy that he expends on the offensive end, like he has to do so much for that team offensively that the Mavericks do a really good job of not hiding him, but making sure that he's not expending this crazy amount of energy on defense.
Right. That's been – I mean, you've seen that in the NBA before, like – Harden's like that. Houston, Portland does that with Dame a lot. It's like this guy is doing so much for us on the other end that, like, I mean, if you were to guard like the best player on their team, you'd play like 20 minutes a night because you'd just be exhausted.
Exactly. So, I mean, obviously an amazing player, amazing experience, and I mean, the game was back and forth the whole entire game. I thought we had chances to win, and I mean, regulation, overtime. And Luka just made these gutsy shots, shot after shot after shot, and
We'd be remiss to not mention it was a TNT primetime game. There's a lot of people that either stayed up late on the East Coast or watch it on the West Coast. You're not saying this. I don't know if you want to say this, but like pretty bad call. Like Troy Brown definitely got fouled at the end of the game. And it's a tough spot to call a foul on a three, but like if you're an NBA ref, you should probably just call it.
Yeah, and then at the end of the first overtime, LeBron goes to the basket. And
same type of thing, yeah.
And in the two-minute report, they did say that they missed that call. They missed that call, but they didn't say that Troy's was a foul. They thought they made the right call in that situation. So I mean, it's basketball. People make mistakes. It's tough. You know, I mean, you feel like you get kind of, and then the next night Russ goes to the basket and Bede's kind of grabbing his arm. They have a picture on it on Twitter, and I mean, at the end of the day, you can't really do much. Sometimes the luck of basketball. I mean. You see that in just, college basketball.
It's just how it goes, but yeah. College refs are horrible. But I was cracking up at, I think it was a TikTok or Instagram video I saw of, I get a lot of Lakers content now, Swatter, because I search Twitter all the time for it and everything. And Troy Brown is basically saying, like what you're saying right now, like kind of like the nice answer, like, said, you know, refs get make mistakes all the time. Like, not speaking your mind because, you know, you're younger guys. You can't really go out on a limb. And LeBron's in the back, and he's, like, getting changed. He's not even getting interviewed. He's like, it was a fucking foul. Like, it was a fucking foul. Troy was like, yeah, I mean, I can't really say that, but.
Yeah, Troy's like, yeah, I guess it was a foul. Yeah, Troy's the nicest guy in the world. Like, for example, like today I'm shooting the facility. Troy just came and rebounded for me. Like, Troy's that type of dude. Like, he's like the nicest guy in the world. So he's not trying to bash anybody. He's not trying to do it. But I mean, LeBron's at a point in his career where he's he's a great guy too. Don't get me wrong. But I think he's kind
of. No, everyone knows what you're getting at. But
yeah.
I mean, that was the Sixers game was also crazy, but the Mavs game especially was just like very fun to watch. And hey, you'll be all right, man. If nothing else, like, Luka hit a three over you. Not many people can say that.
Exactly.
But, and then last night, we're recording this Tuesday night. Yeah.
Yep.
I get mixed up with the long weekend. But last night, it was like MLK, NBA TV, Rockets, Lakers. Another very good game, very high scoring. But, I mean, I guess we could start again. We talk about him every week, but LeBron just completely went off again.
Yeah, I don't even know what I can say.
Yeah, there's nothing really to add. The only other point I had on this game was we were talking about it a little bit off air, but people won't know. I don't even know how to pronounce his first name, but Şengün with the Rockets, he's just another example of there's like hundreds and hundreds of like amazing basketball players in the world and also in the NBA. Like if you watch if you just put on a random game, you're going to see at least like 12 capable NBA players on the court at all times, which I feel like was not the case when we were growing up.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's attributed to the, obviously, I think the era that we grew up in, we were the first era to have really, like, basketball trainers and truly kind of take advantage, like, the gyms being open. And, I mean, they talk about the generation before us, they just went out and played pickup, you know what I mean? Like, now, like, guys are working on their skill and their craft and when they're in third grade. I think our generation is the first generation where we kind of started picking up like maybe like 9th grade, 10th grade of like really like working on your skill every single day. So you just see that with like Şengün, like he obviously hit threes, he scored tough finishes around the basket, but I think the most impressive part of it was some of the passes that he was making. He jumped in the air one time, threw it like a kind of behind the back, but like a shovel pass down, and hit. Hit Kenyon Martin Jr. for like a crazy dunk. I'm like, this guy's unreal. Like he looked like Jokic last night. And I'm not saying this because I feel like this would happen to us at Syracuse a lot too last year. It was like when you play the Lakers and you're in like that crypto.com arena environment, and it's like this, you'll see when you come out here, but it's like this, like it's almost like you're in a performance, you know what I mean? Like you feel like the lights are bright, you're in the middle of LA, like
People just show up to play
against us.
It's just a game that like people get up for at all times.
It's like playing in Madison Square Garden. Like it's just like the aura around like crypto and the history, and you see all these like retired jerseys and banners and everything with the Lakers, and you're playing against LeBron. It's like these dudes just. Like, I remember one game we were playing against maybe Charlotte. And before that game, a couple of those guys have been shooting like 25% from three. Like, so we call those guys heavy shift guys. These guys come out and make every shot. Like, two-way guys are making shots. Guys who are considered heavy shift guys are making shots. And LeBron looks around, he's like, we can't even follow these analytics because we're the Lakers. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, you got to scout it. Like, you almost have to factor that into the scout. It's like, yeah, he shoots 26% from three, but against us, he might shoot like 33. He was like,
yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, exactly. So it's just a part of being the Lakers and that obviously the historic brand that the Lakers are.
Right, yeah. And to your point, too, it's like the whole aura of LeBron adds a lot to it because, I mean, when he was in Cleveland, he was making – like random January night games feel like they were playoff games, I'm sure. So, yeah, that just adds a whole nother layer into it. But, yeah, I mean, you guys play Sacramento tomorrow night. You got a couple, like, got a, like, pretty long homestand here. I mean, you play at Portland later in the week, but other than that, I think it's 7 of your last 8 starting with the Mavs game the other day at home. So, one thing I wanted you to touch on is your living situation. So are you still in the Residence Inn?
Yeah.
In LA?
Yeah.
So are you there? Like what's that kind of process like?
Well, yeah. So, I mean, these organizations, for the most part, they pay for your living situation
right. When
you're on a two-way contract. So, the Lakers' living situation since LA, the prices are so high to live, is that they pay for me to live in a Residence Inn. The Residence Inn is fine; it gets the job done.
Yeah, I mean, you got a nice setup there. You got a nice microwave behind you.
Yeah,
nice,
microwave, nice full kitchen area back there. Yeah, yep. little studio apartment gets the job
basically,
done.
Yeah, it's basically just an apartment.
Yeah, but I would say once you get your first full NBA contract, then you go out and find a place for you to live. So one thing I will say is that, like, people see me, I'm obviously 6'9", I'm wearing Lakers gear a lot of the time because I'm coming back from the facility and stuff like that. They'll be like,
are you getting noticed?
A little bit here and there, but right. mostly just like the questioning eyes. I mean, diehard Laker fans know who I am, but like the casual Laker fan might not, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, I'll be going up the elevator with some of the guests sometimes and be like, do you play basketball? I'm like, yeah, I play for the Lakers. They're like, all right, come on, dude. You're in the Residence Inn. Like,
yeah.
Come on. You don't have to lie to me.
That's fucking hilarious. That's so funny. But I mean, like if I was in New York and I walk into Starbucks and I see some 6'9 guy like getting a coffee in Knicks gear, like sweatpants, t-shirt, looks team issued, I'm like, oh shit, is he on the Knicks?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's a pretty fair question by them. But it's also hilarious that they're like, yeah, you get in, you're like, hit like floor 4. And they're like, what floor are you? And you're like 6. And they're like, what the fuck? Do you play for the Lakers?
All right. Like, come on. You're joking. Yeah. Like, you wouldn't be in the Residence Inn if you played for the Lakers.
Right. Yeah, because they definitely have a very high maintenance thought of you, like, oh, all the Lakers guys, even in the G League, probably live in like these sweet places. But
yeah,
I've talked to like a few people about that because it is. I mean, it's like a tricky situation in that aspect of like your living, where people don't think of that at first, but then it's like, I mean, you're not gonna like buy an apartment there if you don't really necessarily know your situation right now. So
yeah, exactly. I think that obviously two way is so fluid, and you're going back and forth between teams,
right.
And all that stuff, but I think just having a free place to live is great for, especially my first year, because I don't have the money from a previous contract. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Maybe if I was coming off of a standard contract and mm-hmm. that whole deal, I might decide to get an apartment. But for right now, the Residence Inn is great, treats me well. I get the cleaning ladies to come and clean my room and everything like that, so it works out good. Wi-Fi is good, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, the podcast sounds like you're in the best podcast studio in the entire world. So, but the other thing is, I've also, like, with my living situation being in the middle of Manhattan, there's sirens every single episode in the background. So I apologize to the listeners. I've noticed that when I'm reviewing, and it just happened like 3 seconds ago. So, the other thing with you that I wanted to touch on is our Instagram the other day. reposted a post from the Lakers of you with your fit pick walking into the tunnel. Very simple, but when are we going to get a little bit more flash out of you? Like, how many games do you need under your belt before you feel a little bit more, like, comfortable throwing a fit out there?
Yeah, I mean, one thing about me is that I'll call myself simple and efficient, right? That's how I think that's kind of how
your style goes.
I live my life, kind of. You know what I mean? And
you love your life. That's your fashion.
Yeah, just simple and efficient, right?
Okay, all right.
I want to say I'm the most stylish guy. I'm not going to claim to be that guy, right? So, my mom sends me all these designers and stuff like that, and she's trying to hook me up with a designer here, and my agent wants me to get some deals here and stuff like
have
that.
Have you thought about a stylist at all?
Yeah, I've thought about it a little bit, but I mean, I kind of want to get some money flowing in before I start spending some money in clothes and stuff like that. So, hopefully I go out there and hit 6 threes and companies want to send me some free stuff and I'll wear it. So that's, shout out to all the companies. Shout out to all the companies.
Right. I'll wear your stuff. You were a team issued guy last year. I was too, because I didn't want to like buy merch. Also, I was like, not in your situation because you're 6'9 and wearing Lakers gear, but like when you're a walk-on on campus, every walk-on that's listening can relate to this. You're wearing as much gear around campus as possible. So people like, they're like, oh, he's on the basketball team?
Oh, this guy's got to be on the team.
Number one? Flip the beanie around so the number one is showing. Like, yeah, you gotta maximize every single opportunity. But Adam just sent us a message to talk about Cuse. I was thinking, I mean, we could briefly touch on Cuse right now, but
yeah,
I feel like that could be buddy talk. This is another thing where we haven't talked to Buddy yet, so, I mean, it's in store, but... Yeah, just real quick, that last night they played at Miami. Pretty tough loss, but I mean, they're just getting better. They're proving us right, what we say every week. They're just getting way better because they're young.
Yeah, I think they've had a couple of good comeback wins, and I'm just excited for this team. I know it's a little premature because the season has a lot left, but just the growth of this team, and I'm just excited to see where all these guys can get to in the future, right? I think it's a great stepping stone for the program, great foundation of what this team can be, and honestly, like, we might take some close, tough losses to really good teams like a Miami or a Virginia, like we've seen this year, but it's going to pay off in the future, and I'm super excited. I'm super happy and excited that these guys are getting the experience now, so they know, hey, like, later in the season, it might click. Or it might click next year. It's like, all right, like, we're in these close situations. We've been in them. We know what play to go to. Boeheim doesn't have to call a timeout in every single situation like he has been. And I think it's just been a great learning experience for all these guys. And they've actually came out victorious in some of these close games as well. I mean, Notre Dame twice. And
that game was awesome. Notre Dame game was electric. The dome was unbelievable.
We actually had a talk in our group chat. Which game was? I mean, we're all biased here, probably, but which game was more electric? The Wake Forest game at home last year, or this year's Notre Dame game?
I'm gonna say the Wake Forest game.
Yeah,
because I was there.
Me as well.
But who was that? Me, you, and Jimmy? Or each other? Might have been Adam. Shout out to what Jimmy? Was it Adam? Oh, sorry.
Might have been Adam.
But yeah, I mean, that's a good question. It's also, there's not many places like across the country that even have that debate.
I mean, there's not we're the only place in the country that has that play in the dome setting. And good it gets point. That loud.
Good point. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, the Cuse love on Twitter and everything was awesome. I was getting real fired up.
Yeah.
But Notre Dame, is, like, their basketball program is so annoying. So that was an awesome one. But... but yeah, I think we'll get into more Cuse talk with Buddy later, kind of specifics about where the team's at and everything. But what are we at, 25 minutes here? I think we got to return the mailbag question of the week. Given that, did we give one last week or no? We did not. Sometimes we forget about it and then we're like, oh, we'll do an Instagram video, and then we just like, I'm not doing it, so we'll be better about it. But this question comes from Tom, who Swider, you said, is a close personal friend of the Swider family, correct?
Great friend of the Swider family.
Okay. Thank you very much, Tom, for He starts it off by saying Cole/Patty, which is very, I really appreciate that because a lot of people just say Cole. Thank you for sharing your insights into living as an NBA rookie. I really like it when you get personal to talk about your background, especially family. I was hoping that you could update us on how your brother Connor is doing at IMG Academy this year. Best wishes. Connor's godfather. Wow, he didn't mention that.
Yeah.
That's nice and wholesome there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But how is Connor doing? Connor Swider, what, sophomore?
6'2"? Sophomore IMG, yep. No, 6'5 now.
6'5?
6'2 when you saw him, 6'5.
Yeah, now. I was going to say, last time I saw him was March. Yeah. Jesus Christ. He could already dunk harder than you can, too. That's good.
Shoot, can definitely dunk harder than you.
Oh, that's not true. I mean, he's 6'5". He's an advantage. But yeah. Go on. How's he doing?
Yeah, Connor's doing well. He got down to IMG in September, and he's really put on a lot of strength and size since then. So he's grown like an inch a month. He's doing well, though. I actually watched his game yesterday with my parents, and he knocked down 2 threes. He was 2 for 4 from three when I was watching him, and that was only in the first half. So he's getting a lot better. He's getting a lot stronger. Over Christmas break, you know that theme where on TikTok, I don't know if you've seen these videos, but it's like,
yeah.
I'm not your bra.
Yeah, yeah. Did you make one of those?
No, so my little sister did. And when Connor left for IMG, he was probably about 6'3", and Courtney's about 6'4". And he came back, and he's like 6'5", 6'6". And my sister's like, this is ridiculous. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
so they made the talk.
So they made the TikTok, and it was hilarious. Like, Connor's probably put on 15 pounds since he's been there, and he's grown a lot. And we're working out together with my trainer back home, Pierre Sully. And he looks good. He's starting to dunk and all that stuff. Which is crazy. Because last time I saw him, he was like, yo, I'm getting close to dunking. And he was like barely hitting the bottom of the rim, and now he's actually throwing it down. So super happy and proud of him. And excited for him in the future.
IMG is a very good basketball program. I mean, people, if you see it on like Twitter, you definitely would recognize it. First and foremost, Justin Taylor and Quiddier Coakley both went there last year. Benny was there the year before, Benny Williams. But then also they have guys like Jonathan Isaac went there, Dwight Powell, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Trayvon Duvall.
Yeah, they've had a lot of great players in their their past, and I think that's what made it so attractive for my brother to go there. I mean, obviously. Right. It's a great basketball program, but they have an athlete-centric base of students that go there. So you're around people who are striving to be the best athletes that they can. So it's a great environment for my brother to be in. They really take pride in giving them the best nutrition and the weight and training staff. And one of my close friends, Jeremiah Robinson Earl, plays for the Thunder. He went there, and my mom and his mom are very close. And just talking to her, it just seemed like a no-brainer to send Connor there.
Very good. Shout out Connor. Yep. Go on IMG. They're definitely better than St. Andrews, but
I don't know.
But all right. That was a good mailbag question of the week. Nice wholesome check in on the fam, Swider fam. With Buddy, we're gonna do a Cuse basketball draft. I feel like we had to. We're doing our second ever Swider show with Patty Casey draft. And with Buddy Boeheim joining. With him being in person with you, we felt like Cuse basketball moments would be the best one.
So what are you going to say when I win this draft, too? Are you going to say it's a popularity contest? Because Buddy's too.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's how it's going to go. You and Buddy will probably finish 1 and 2, like, neck and neck. And then I'll just be third. And then I don't know if Adam's joining or not, but if he's on it, he'll be, Adam, no offense, he'll probably be fourth. It's just a popularity contest is what it is. I'm saying Adam's not popular, but
I think you might be in fourth, Patty, if it's a real popularity.
There we go.
Now, excited for this interview with Buddy. Be much, much lighter, obviously, just a check-in because we kind of went through his whole entire past before. But, yeah, we'll just kind of get into just the G League season so far, the NBA season, and kind of like his, if he's had a welcome to the NBA moment. So super excited for this interview, and catch you guys on the other side. Welcome to Buddy Boeheim round two, Patty. Really excited to have Buddy back on. We're actually in his hotel room right now in LA. We're getting ready to play the Motor City Cruise on Thursday. Patty, I've been activated for Thursday in the G League. So
Yeah, I jumped the gun on that earlier in the show, but yeah, that was our second piece of breaking news. The other was Buddy. You are also activated.
Yeah.
Correct or incorrect?
Correct. Great timing.
Yep.
Little minute restriction, but make sure get on the court is the same time as this guy and go at a little, have some laughs, and yeah, it's gonna be fun. I've never played against Cole, which is really surprising. Just playing UIBL at the same time in high school in New Hampshire for a year, so. We've had plenty of battles and pickup in the summer, but excited for this one for sure.
Big time battles. Big time battles. It wasn't like Patty in practice, though. It wasn't like Patty going to practice.
Oh, my God. Those were like, those are battles that like might get drafted in this best use moments draft.
That might be a first rounder.
You gave Buddy a lot of confidence to make an AC leave a score.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I take about, I don't know, 75% of that credit. ACC leading score, but that is insane. You guys have never played each other.
No, it is. I'm looking forward to it. Obviously, whoever guards him, let him know no airspace, nothing. Don't even, even if you think you're close enough, you're not. Trust me, I learned from experience. So we're gonna make sure that's on the scouting report. Pretty known for everyone who's out.
We think there'll be some like shit talking. Like, how's that gonna go?
Shoot, man. I mean, this is my guy right here. I'll be rooting for him.
Yeah.
If he makes a shot, I'll be like,
mutual respect. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, clap it on the bench.
I can't get, you know, I'm gonna let him shoot it, but, you know, I'm gonna probably pat him on the back, so good shot. Someone where no one can see it, but yeah.
It's funny, at the G League Showcase, I was probably rooting for Buddy harder than his teammates.
That could be true for sure, actually. Funny story, we played Elijah, former teammate in Oshkosh. He guarded me one possession. I have the video on my phone, but he took me out, flagrant foul, just
no way.
Chasing me off a screen. It's actually, the video's insane. Like, if I'll send it to you guys, but I'm going up to shoot. I'm curling, so instead of going to the three-point line, I'm coming off for a mid-range. I'm having a good game, so I already hit probably 5-6 threes. I go in the air, and all of a sudden, I just feel Elijah, like, boom, like a shoulder just right into me. I fall over, land on my hip. Like, it hurt so bad, and they reviewed it. Like, he felt terrible. He was apologizing right away.
Was he, like, apologizing in the moment?
Yeah. Oh, right. It just felt terrible. Like, he said his heart dropped. But flagrant foul, it was hilarious because it was him, but definitely hurt the next day. So hopefully no violence, nothing like that will happen between us four.
Yeah, I mean, that would be hilarious if you two got into something, but I don't know. I don't foresee that happening.
No, I'm letting Buddy land. It's first game back.
Yeah. Yeah, we're big. I said this at the top, too, but we're a big minutes restriction podcast now. Everyone, I might have to get a minutes restriction at work so I can just, like, join the minutes restriction boys.
There you go. It's a good excuse there.
But, yeah, I mean, but before we're going to get into the draft, the best Cuse basketball moments draft. As we were trying to figure out a route for a draft, we've mentioned your brother every single episode, and he's someone who we're very motivated to get on and have a draft. But with you joining us, we thought the Cuse basketball moments would probably be the best one. We're going to put it up with no indication of who drafted which. Like, we're going to put up a graphic, question marks at the top, or probably numbers at the top.
You guys are the worst. You guys are the worst. It's not a popular
contest. Because if you put Buddy Payne, you put Cole Swire.
I won it fair and square.
I think I voted for Cole, too.
I won fair and square. All right?
I think Cole. I voted for Cole.
I mean, we'll let the people decide.
I like this idea, though. It's good.
Yeah, it's way better. But before we get into that, like, I mean, last time we checked in with you was September. So how's the season been going? How you feeling? Obviously, it was a little setback here, but...
Yeah, the season's been going well. I mean, in terms as a team, we've kind of been struggling. We haven't been winning as much as we wanted to, but I think just overall, individually, my growth from the first game to where I'm at now has been really good. I mean, everyone's been telling me from coaches to players just how much I've improved. I mean, defensively, obviously, everyone was worried about that coming from Syracuse, being his own guy. And, you know, I struggled at first. I'll admit that. Got called in pick and rolls a lot and just isolated. But, you know, the last stretch, I played 14, 15 games. And the last 10 or so, I, you know, didn't get called in anything. Was really guarding isolations really well and just started to make shots, started, you know, started early on, lost my starting spot. Probably fair, wasn't, you know, producing as I should have, but got my starting spot back the last 6-7 games, and, you know, was averaging 15 a game, about shooting 40, so really started to get a rhythm. And, you know, just learn, it's an adjustment from college. It's, you know, heavy pick and roll, heavy isolation, being a shooter, I gotta, you know, find ways where I can get my shots. So I think it's just, you know, learning overall, and I think it's been a good experience so far. So excited to get back, though, and just build off to, from where I left off.
And it's also, like, a totally different game, too. One thing as a shooter at this level, like, you have to we were talking about it earlier off air, but we were just talking about, like, getting the rhythm of getting to know your teammates. You go from an offense where you're getting plays called from you and stuff like that. Talk about the transition of being a sniper, a shooter, and because in college you were a three-level scorer.
Yeah.
Talk about that transition, how it's been so far in the G League and preseason NBA.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, for me now, you know, kind of like my freshman year, I was a spot-up guy. I mean, if I dribbled, my dad would yell at me, stop dribbling. So that's kind of, you know, some games early on, it was like, you know, run corner, sprint corner, stay corner.
Yeah.
You know, if I would go in the lane, pump fake, go in the lane, they'd say sidestep three. You know, kind of like Duncan Robinson, one of those guys, strictly a three-point shooter. And, you know, if I get on the fast break, then go for my layup or cut back doors. But it was really heavy, just three-point shooting. And it was, you know, I was like, all right, I got to get used to this again. And it's some games you're going to see 10 threes. Some games you're going to see two or three. It's going to be, you know, teams aren't going to leave you. It's just one of those things, you know, you have to figure out and learn how to deal with and impact the game in other ways. And, you know, at Syracuse, I did get, you know, I got plays called for me to play, things like that, where I could come off screens and, you know,
52. Attack.
Yeah, good old two play. You know, love that. And, it, you know, I definitely appreciate that. So it's just like a new way of looking at how to score and be elite still and be a sniper and, you know, be as effective as I was as in college, but in different ways.
So, buddy, obviously being one of the best, in my opinion.
There we go.
One of the best players in Syracuse basketball history. What are your thoughts on the season? Obviously, it's been an up-and-down season, younger team. A lot of games are similar to our season last year. Just talk about your opinions of the team, how much better the team's gotten. And I think your dad's done not just because it's your dad, but I think he's done a great job of seeing this team grow over the season.
Yeah, no, I think he's done an amazing job. Just so, like you said, over the season, just knowing the guys to play. I mean, watching Notre Dame over this weekend, just I thought he was, you know, it was obviously guys stepped up, but I thought he did a great job knowing, you know, putting Justin out there, putting Malik out there recently. Just knowing little things. Like last week it was Benny. Benny played 30 minutes against Miami. He had a big game. It's just I think he knows when to, you know, when guys are going, how to use guys and use them to their full potential. And obviously, you know, besides that, though, I think the freshmen have stepped up huge. Love what Justin's doing. Love what Malik's doing. Judah's obviously really good. He's, you know, he had a tough game the other night, but that's going to happen. I mean, I had my fair share of bad games even as a senior. And, you know, you see the fans jump on him, and it's just part of it. But, you know, I think he has a good head on his shoulders, and he knows that it's, I think it's just going to motivate him going forward. But that's just how it is. You know, fans were killing Joe a couple weeks ago, and he's been one of the best players in the ACC so far. I think he's really playing well and just solid. I mean, scoring 21 last night, you know, going 1-for-9 from three, that's not something he could have done, you know, even maybe last year. I don't know if he was doing that. It took me time to be able to do that, and he's doing that at an elite level, being the number one scoring option. And love what Jesse's doing. He's just grown so much year in and year out. And, you know, it's not his fault, but I'm still mad at him for getting hurt last year, because we probably would have won 5 or 6 more games with him, however many he was out for. But just happy to see him, you know, be one of the best bigs in the league, in the country, really. No doubt about that. But, you know, they've won, still have won 8 of the last 11, 9 of the last 12, whatever it is. And tough losses to Miami and Virginia in the conference. Pittsburgh, who's having a, you know, it's a weird year. It's a weird year. Duke's not the same. Carolina's was overhyped going into the season. But they can still beat anyone, but they, you know, losing Manic hurt, I think, them a lot. And you got teams like Pittsburgh that are at the top of the league. Miami's really, really good again. They have good guard play, good transfers.
Clemson's very good.
Clemson's very good. You know, I mean, that's the team, similar team that we played last year and beat pretty easily at our place. It's just, PJ Hall is really good, though. I will say that he's a monster. Hunter Tyson's playing really well. You know, they have a veteran group and they play hard and they're a physical team. They're always physical.
It almost feels like if me and you came back for, I mean,
oh yeah, no,
I think we're better players, but it's similar. Just having that experience in the ACC, I don't think a lot of teams have that.
Yeah, no, teams really don't. I think, yeah, experience is really is key this year because there's not the young talent. I mean, there's not, you know, the Zions or the RJ Barretts in the past or the, you know, the young five-star guys, Paolo and the Duke guys. The Duke guys aren't – Filipowski's really good. Whitehead, I haven't – you know, he's been injured. I haven't seen enough. But they're not the you know, 10 to 15-year pros that Duke's used to having, I don't think. They'll be good. They'll be good pros, but not like the, you know, Paolo's and those guys they've had. And it's just, you know, it's a different year. I think it's anyone can win. I think it favors us well going forward and – you know, a lot of opportunities for us to clean up the conference. And, you know, I still think it's a 6-7 league bid because, you know, I haven't seen a lot from the other conferences either. So, you know, we'll see. I think they're going to keep going, keep improving and getting better. And, you know, it's I'm excited about this group and hopefully they stick together the next couple years. And, you know, I'm excited to keep watching them this year. It's weird watching them. I miss playing there, miss it a lot, but, yeah. You know, it's fun being a fan again and remember how stressful I was as a kid growing up watching these games.
For sure, man. I mean, so you haven't had this experience yet. How's it being on this side? Because you were the ultra fan. Then you were leading the orange. And how's it been on this side of it?
Oh, it's been crazy to think about. I mean, it's just. It's definitely a tough experience. I'm getting used to it again. I mean, when I was even up until high school, I'd cry after we lost. I was like, you know, I don't get that. I'm happy I don't get that emotional anymore, but I still get beat up after games and I wish I could go back out there and play out there and just be in that uniform again, play in front of the fans. And I mean, there's nothing better than a noon game in the dome and getting out of there after a win and just going back to UV, hanging out with the guys.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, man, life was nice.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I miss it a lot, but I love being a fan. I love, you know, I text the guys after games and, you know, texting Justin, texting Joe and Jesse and just, you know, Saimir, you know, guys that I'm close with and just seeing how they're doing, asking them about practice. And I think it's just cool now because I even, you know, before playing there, I just cared about winning, who scored. And now I really know, like, watching the zone, like, oh, you know, Jesse's got to get corner there. The forward's got to get over on the trap. So, like, it's cool seeing that part, too, and just, like, you know, different points throughout the game, what my dad's thinking, like, all right, you know, three red press here, need to, you know, switch it up a little or – what they're running on offense, if it's five high, good old five high, or, you know, two play, whatever it is, one for Judah. It's, you know, it's cool to see what he's thinking, and I kind of, you know, look at it as a coach more in like a former player type of perspective, and, you know, I have a lot more knowledge, but it's definitely, I still get those, you know, my heart races, and I remember what it felt like as a kid watching those games.
That would, But that'd be hilarious if, like, you were watching a game in the Motor City or Detroit locker room and you started crying if you lost. Like you said, you were crying in high school if you just, like, kept that going until now.
No, we actually lost. We were playing in Vegas. It was the Pitt game, and we came back, and I was like, oh, my gosh.
Oh, that game was –
before our game, like, 2 minutes before tip-off checked and was devastated. Brutal.
So, buddy, obviously you talked about Judah and the fan base getting on him, and you've been in that position, both sides, the fans thinking you're the best player in the world in the tournament, and then you have a bad game, maybe sophomore year, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Talk about, like, what would your advice be to Joe, to Judah, to those guys? Because it's the blessing and the curse of Syracuse, right? You're on this big national stage of every single game, and then you, but it's also a place where you lose. It's not fun to lose. What would be your advice to those guys, and how can they handle that?
Yeah, I mean – It was probably different for me. It's probably a little more extreme. I mean, my freshman year, I didn't play in two games back-to-back. I remember we lost to Buffalo at home, and I had, like, 50 messages after the game. Like, I didn't even play. Like, you suck, like, this and that. That's when I was like, all right, this is how it's going to be. Like, games I wouldn't even play, and I was getting, you know, crazy texts and couldn't go on my phone, anything. And I was like, wow, all right. But, you know, it's there. It's, you know, I think over the years – you know, my dad, my Jimmy actually said it best. He said it's, you know, every fan base has that. It's 1% of people. They're bitter. They look to jump on, you know, college kids or blame it on whatever. They think they know everything. And, you know, there's so many people that really are there for you no matter what. And I think that's important. But at the end of the day, it's just trusting your work and back to work. And I think for a guy like Judah, it's like, all right, like, let this motivate you. And, you know, I'm sure he has, you know, his family's believing in him. And that's all I needed. I needed after a bad game was my dad would text me and just say, keep shooting. It's going to be all right. And then that was it. The next day I'd go into work and be as motivated as ever. And the next game want to, you know, win by 20 or whatever it was and just, you know, make sure everyone was quiet. But I think I started to realize it's not – the doubters aren't important. The people that are hating you, that's always going to be there. It's the people that are always there for you. You know, I had my dad, I had G-Mac, I had Eric Devendorf texting me after every game, my brother. So, you know, it was easy for me. And Joe has, you know, his dad has always been there for him to every game. G-Mac, obviously, you know, my dad's going to rock with him no matter what. And, you know, it's the same for Judah, all those guys. So I think they're going to be just fine. And, you know, as always, Syracuse gets better as the year goes along and always, you know, finds a way to prove those people wrong. So I'm excited to watch them this next stretch.
Chris LaValle said, he used to have a saying. He was like, something's never changed, man. He was like, the sky's always going to be blue. And the Cuse is always going to make a run in March.
Man, yeah, he's not wrong about that. He's not. This man, I miss Chris a lot, actually. I got to reach out to him sometime.
That's never thought I'd say it, but you miss him.
Oh, I know. I was
still texted, like, basically every day. I get a Family Guy meme.
Wow.
Or a Family Guy clip.
I miss his memes. I miss his memes that he would make.
Oh, my God, yeah. Dude, we should text him tomorrow. He'd probably whip one up in minutes.
Hey, you guys should get one for the podcast.
Oh, we actually should. I'm surprised we haven't got one yet.
Like meme Mondays. Can we start that? Meme Mondays by Chris.
Wow, you could be honest up there, bud.
Please. I'll repost those, everything. I'll just make sure they get out there. People need to see that Chris artwork that he does better than anyone. He's mastered those. Man, good group of guys, though. Man, I miss that. Miss that team. It's,
yeah.
You know, the thing about the GM, it's great, great group of guys, but you got guys coming from everywhere, all different colleges and, you know, different ambitions, you know, and it's a business at the end of the day. Guys are, you know, you want to win and stuff, but, you know, the individual success is probably a little more important too, but, you know, NBA, you got guys with families already and stuff like that, so there's not time like that, but definitely makes me appreciate the memories I have and miss, you know, those nights in UV and just little things, honestly. It's, you know, there's nothing like that, having that bond, and especially doing that at Syracuse. I think that coaching staff and just the culture that they've built is awesome.
Nothing like it, man.
Yeah.
Nothing like it.
Nah, for sure.
It really is not. Really quick before we move on, you guys are talking about the fans getting a lot of hate. Joe gets, like, an obscene amount on Twitter all the time whenever he plays bad. So, quick shout-out. Since the game at Illinois where he didn't – it was a stretch of three games where he didn't shoot well, didn't play well. 9-3, 19 a game. I think that's first in the ACC over the stretch, like, in conference play. So, I mean, I said on this podcast, I said on these airwaves, he would lead the ACC in scoring and go back-to-back with Buddy, but – I mean, if you count just conference games, I think he might be one. So.
No, yeah, he was. He was for sure. I mean, he's getting guarded really as hard as anyone.
Yes.
He's doing it in more different ways. He's, you know, last game he was backing down guys.
Yeah, I loved that.
Yeah, he's flexing on people. He's
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. People don't realize, even when he's missing shots, that he opens up so much. I mean, you go back and watch Pittsburgh game. I was watching. They weren't leaving him. They weren't leaving him at all. And you could throw it into Jesse or Malik, and they'd get a dunk or backdoor, whatever it was. These people don't realize how much shooters, how much they do for the team in general. You know, you put him at the NBA line, they're going to be out there face guarding him. It's 4-on-4 in an open space. Just allows for so much spacing. That's what Cole did really well. That's what Joe did really well for me. It just helped. It made it easy for me to get into the lane and get to my shots without having to worry about, you know, someone being there. Because most college teams, it's Helpline, Pacline, Virginia, all of them. But, you know, you can't do that when you have elite shooters out there. And that's what this team needs. Because Chris Bell is an elite shooter, but he doesn't have the respect that Joe has. Joe, everyone in the league knows that. He's the best shooter in the ACC. So, you know, I'm very happy with how he's playing. He's playing really good.
Also, real quick, because you mentioned Chris Bell getting reposted on KD's story was the coolest thing I saw.
Yeah, KD's the guy.
So cool.
I actually scored. I have my one big game junior year for the tournament, and it was against North Carolina. And after that game, I saw KD followed me, and it was definitely the most excited I've been on Instagram seeing that message to him, because you know, we go back to the Olympics. I was around and was running around and got to say what's up to him, get a picture, and just message him saying, hey, me and my dad love watching you. Don't know if you remember from the Olympics, but, you know, he messaged back saying he remembered, you know, me being around there, and, you know, it was pretty cool. But Katie's a guy I would love to hang out with.
Hey, Patty, I don't know if you remember when we went on a rant about the fans and the Joe Girard
game. Oh yeah, that was right after the Illinois game.
Yeah, so
I mean, we love the fans, but that was pissing me off. Yeah,
we went on a rant.
Those aren't fans. They're just negative.
Yeah,
they're having a bad day, so they want to, you know, go at a 21-year-old for having a rough shooting night. But he's, you know, they don't know half of it. But that's just, I think that's just how it is. You just have to embrace it and know that there's a lot of good fans out there, and I think I realize that there's a lot of fans out there that are going to be there no matter what, and I think that's the beauty of college basketball is you don't have that as much in these pro sports. You got, you know, parents raising their kids who went this year. I mean, I had, and against Ontario Clippers, I had four people show up to the game, a family, and all Syracuse gear. I wasn't even playing. They showed up and got a picture with me, said they're, you know, went to Syracuse. The mom went to Syracuse, had their kids already showing them the ways, and, you know, there's nothing like that. And, you know, there's Syracuse fans everywhere. I think it's the best. Still the best fans in the country. Don't get me wrong. This is the 1%. All the other, you know, there's so many good Syracuse fans out there.
Yeah, I mean,
that 1% is brutal.
Yeah, it's just like, it's very easy to get so annoyed
at them. Oh, yeah. I think now, too, just knowing more about the game, seeing people tweet like, oh, like, why is Coach doing this? Why is he not?
Yeah.
Like, stop. Just stop it. Like,
yeah. Stop. Why are you using Twitter for that
reason? Just stop. Yeah. Like, you didn't even play high school basketball yet.
Yeah.
You know, this is different. You don't get it. But it's funny to see. I mean, you just have to laugh. And, you know,
yeah.
I think it's funny.
Yeah. I mean, most of the fan base is like Adam Lewis's. They're just great fans.
Oh,
passionate fans. They're not shitting on anyone. So
not a great fan list, though. But yeah, I mean, it's fun. I mean, and that's everywhere. I mean, I know Kentucky is as brutal.
Oh yeah, if you look at any like Twitter's fan base or any fan bases like Twitter or Instagram or anything, you're gonna see a lot of like
just a lot
overreaction, like BS on there.
It's just the social media culture and the world we live in today. It's how it is. I mean, I saw the video today of the third grade team that are doing.
Oh, that video. I mean, people are hating on it, but it's so funny.
It's hilarious, but it's like, wow, like this is.
Yeah, what is happening? Yeah.
It's basketball nowadays. It's, you know, it's just a crazy, crazy, crazy game.
Crazy game. But all right, fellas.
Is it time?
After our Q's talk here, should we move into our second Swagger Show with Patty Casey draft?
I think it's
time. Are you guys ready?
Hey, I'm ready.
Yeah, I think it's time. The listeners will understand how Buddy has, this is us just catering to the guest because he has a slight advantage here, knowing every single moment ever in Syracuse basketball history that matters. So,
so we're gonna go snake draft, and Buddy will get the number one pick.
Wow.
Yep.
Two, Patty three, and then round it off with the champ.
Okay. All right.
Number four.
I think four. I like being in the later half of this draft, but what are we going to do? Three picks each, right?
Three picks each.
All right, buddy. Your first overall pick.
All right. I'm between two, but so three, I'll say it after, right? Three, when you texted me that today, three moments came up in my head right away. One of them was the national championship. That was probably my first memory as a Syracuse basketball fan. I was 4 years old. And it was me and my sisters stayed home. My parents took my brother, which was all right.
Wow.
Yeah, we got to go.
No way.
Yeah, I went to the Elite Eight game and the Sweet 16, and I don't remember it at all. But I was there. Didn't go to the national championship, but I remember.
Quick question. Yeah. So that video with Melo.
That was.
Yeah, where you have the giant jersey on. That was after they won, right?
That was after they won it. That was the parade at the Dome. Yeah, I just remember jumping up and down our nanny screaming. Like, I knew it was something important. I just remember those, 5 seconds. So that was my first memory. So that would be one. But I'm going to go – I'm between two. I'm going to go six overtime game for my first pick. My first – actually, great backstory there. It was my first trip. I was the best kid in the house, always was, year in, year out. Jimmy and Sissy would always cause problems for my parents. So every year, every trip, we'd go on a family vacation. My parents would say, Buddy, you was the best kid this trip. I'd be like, when am I going to cash in on this? When can I get my reward? So got to go to the 2009 Big East tournament. Johnny Flynn was my favorite player.
What a pick.
Great pick, yeah. I was like, yeah. They're like, great pick. Do you want an iPod, a money, whatever? I was like, no, I want to go to, Big East tournament. And Johnny Flynn was my favorite player. Devo, I loved that team. And, that game happened. And, by the first overtime game, this was when I was really, crying after games, yelling at my dad. I would stay up till 12:30 till he got home from a game and just yell at him, why are we losing, crying. I really cared about it. So I was in the locker room at, first overtime, freaking out, about to have a panic attack, Coach Huggins is in there with me and my mom, oh, you guys are going to win this game. We'll see you tomorrow because we were supposed to play them the next night.
Mm-hmm.
But second overtime, by the fifth, sixth overtime, I went back out there, knew we were going to win. And just the greatest game I've ever watched. And after the game, went to McDonald's with the managers at 4 in the morning. And, played West Virginia the next night and beat them in overtime. So that sixth overtime game is still – it's got to be a top 20 game in college basketball history. So I think that's one for me.
Yeah, that was a layup. Yeah. That was a
layup. Easy one.
That's like a big time you remember where you were for that game.
Yeah.
Bud, you were probably, fourth grade, fifth grade?
I was
something like that.
I was like 10. Years
old,
so 9, 10.
Yeah,
fourth.
And I mean, the Devo on the scores table,
My favorite part of the whole game is my nanny made Jimmy go to bed at halftime. And he wakes up the next day and he's like, her name was Rhea. And he was like, Rhea, did we win last night? And she was like, I don't know, but I think it went to six overtimes or something. And he was like, what? And he rewatched the game, didn't have her tell him who won, and then he watched the whole game without knowing, and
that's the most Jimmy thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, he didn't want it. He didn't look it up for anything. He watched it himself, and then watched.
It's actually so impressive, avoiding the result.
Yeah, and
that's insane.
Me and my dad got up at 8 and watched it that morning too. So it was, it was a great.
Yeah, people also don't realize they went into overtime the next night.
Yeah,
the next night.
It's insane.
And it was a way tough Louisville team, but it was still an unbelievable run.
Yeah. Yeah, great 1-1 pick.
Yeah.
There's different directions you could go in, but good 1-1 pick.
Yeah, I had to go there.
All right.
Who's that, Adam?
Adam, number two pick.
I'm going to go the hiring of Jim Boeheim at number two.
Okay. I like it.
That's probably the number one.
I like it.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm thinking that outside the box.
You know what? That's not a direction I was thinking about.
I was not thinking so, about
that. There's going to be a bunch of moments.
Wow.
All right, Adam. I respect the hell out of that.
No, yeah, that's actually
the hiring of Jim Boeheim.
That's yeah.
All right, Adam. Elaborate on your thinking. I mean, it kind of speaks for itself, but it seems like you're going to make a point.
First of all, I'm not trying to do all Boeheim moments today. So I have some in my head for later in the draft that I don't think anyone else will take that I can save. But also, I know no one's going in that direction, and I think that is the moment that the number one moment of all time.
Yeah, I mean, we also could do a full draft on like Coach Boeheim moments.
So. That's also true. All
right, my number three pick. I'll go with the building of the Carrier Dome.
Get out of here! Get out of here.
No, I'm kidding.
That's not a Jim Boeheim's okay. It's a good moment. Like, bro, people were like, "Oh wow, this is like a great basketball moment." Come on,
he's joking. What?
The building, no, I'm, yeah.
I feel like we're totally off the rails now.
Adam, open up my mind to a whole different type of. All right, my one. I'm happy it fell to me. Is the 2006 run? Yeah.
Yeah. So that's just,
I mean,
but that's personal. It meant so much to you.
Yeah.
Oh, it meant so much to me, my family, the city, everyone, my friends. The specific moment I would probably pick the Cincy shot, the floater, where Jay Billis is like bitching that it's a walk. It's not a walk at all. McNamara got away with the steps. There, not a walk. But quickly, I looked up his stats. I wrote them down. So he talked about this when he was on the pod. How they were playing Cincinnati. Everyone who's listening, and you guys will obviously remember, you know the like Big East, the old Big East tournament, the noon game on like Wednesday? It's like the first game of the tournament. So they played in that game. I think it was the noon game. Their 8-9 matchup, winner gets in the tournament. 17 points, 9 assists, game winner. Easy. Next night, UConn, 3-for-14 from the field. But vintage GMAC fashion gets like 12 free throws, 17 points, 13 assists. UConn, one seed in the tourney.
Unreal, yeah.
And then GMAC literally just like ruined his body for Syracuse fans. Like, oh, God. Gives me chills doing it. Talking about it.
Yeah, see his ankle every day. It's his body is.
Oh, my God.
He's like a 60-year-old man, but that's just the usage and how much he, you know, no one will ever give more to a program than he did. And
yeah.
GMAC's my all-time favorite. I wish I was older. I don't really remember his run, honestly.
Yeah, that's the only run that like I really like vividly remember.
Yeah, I was, you know, 4 to 7, so I really don't, you know, when I was 9 and 10, I really started.
Yeah, so little.
Yeah, it really hurts that I didn't get to just, you know, watch those and really idolize those moments, but... You know,
that's easy first round pick for me. Layup.
And those last three teams, I mean, those were my least favorite teams growing up, so that's a pretty good stretch right there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like vintage Big East run there. Yeah.
And Georgetown, wow. Amazing.
Yeah.
But Swider, your snake opportunity here.
With the fourth pick, I'm gonna go with the implementation of the 2-3 zone. No.
God, we gotta just make that joke every time.
I'm so shook on that, man.
No, I'm joking. But
should I do the birth of Jim Boeheim next?
Yeah, I was gonna say like,
with the fourth pick, I'm gonna go the first 1,000th win, the only 1,000th win. What gets hidden in that was that during that week they beat three top 10 teams.
Yeah.
They beat. Virginia, that was a 1,000th win.
Florida State.
They beat Florida State, and then they beat Duke on the John Gillen bank shot. And that's actually...
Whoa, tipping picks.
That's actually my next pick.
Wow. Oh, nice. All right, never mind. What a nice segue there.
But you want to get a snake.
Yeah, wow. That was nice.
Yeah,
that was good.
That was good.
So I'm going to go with the John Gillen bank shot against Duke.
Unreal.
In a sold-out dome, and then... Everyone just flooding the court.
Oh, that's
Holly Rose trying to get John Gillen after the game, and Pete Moore is grabbing him and just throwing him into the I'm gonna go there.
Yeah, I mean that atmosphere there is just unbelievable. It's the best storm court ever.
Oh. I was a junior in high school for that run, and it was electric. I mean, that team got robbed. It was, you know, their thing was they didn't have, their record wasn't great, but their thing was they didn't have good road wins. But I mean, their home wins were three top 10 teams, like Cole said, and just, you know, those teams were loaded. I mean, they were loaded, and it was so fun. It was just, you know, we would storm the court. We had me, Trey, Adrian, and Jimmy would, you know, run around the dome, and that was a fun, very fun team for sure. That's a good one. And, you know, John Gillen had 43 that year also. He was, you know, if we had him for, like Cole, if they were stayed for more than 1 year, they would have been, you know, first league guys for sure. And, yeah, they would have. My dad, that's one guy. My dad was like, man, I wish, you know, could have had you more than 1 year. So
stuck around.
Yeah, there's.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's a very good thing.
Love the transfer rule, but, man, you wish some of these guys. But it's always fun. Yeah. You know, John's always Q's family for sure.
Patty, back to you.
This I don't know if I want to go recent. I might go old school here. I think number two on my board is I'm going Pearl half court buzzer beater.
Oh, see, Adam, yeah. Adam thought he had
it. Bang.
Great one.
Yeah, Adam didn't know we were going there.
It's a great one. But
Pearl, I tried obviously to throw everyone off, but it didn't work.
No.
Patty knows every stat of every game. So like,
come on, Adam. I'm disrespected here.
I'm like, where are we going with this?
What, oh, the carrier dome thing?
The carrier dome thing killed me. I believed you, too. I'm kind of mad at myself.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
No, but I mean, the Pearl shot speaks for itself. Obviously, we weren't born at the time, but the video is awesome. It's like the old school vintage dome. Nothing but net, like, runs off. Everyone's freaking out. So, yeah, that doesn't need much explanation there. It's an awesome, awesome moment. He also, like, but doesn't your dad kind of credit him for making, like, kind of taking Syracuse to the next level?
Yeah, it's just, you know, Syracuse was big, but when he got there, it was now 30,000 in the dome. It was, you know, prime Big East, Patrick Ewing, their battles, the fake punch or the punch that he dodged from Ewing and just those battles. And, you know, my dad has some really funny stories of Pearl. You know,
yeah,
they would run on the track and Pearl wouldn't run. And, you know, my dad would get him, he'd say, you know, this isn't track. I'll run on the court. And he'd show up and couldn't stop him. But, yeah, I wish I could have been around for those times. But my dad tells me whenever he can that, you know, he was unbelievable.
Yeah. All right. So, I mean, early lead here goes to Casey, but – and what's your next pick? The implementation of Syracuse University?
All right. Well, I said I wasn't going to go Jim Boeheim again because I was going to go Pearl, and then that just got all switched up. Yeah. So now we're going to go back to I was in sixth grade. My dad went to Duke. So Syracuse joins the ACC, heads down to Duke at Cameron, February 2014. Oh. CJ Fair goes up for game winner, and there's a little bit of a controversial call. And then the jacket comes off. And that was, I was listening, obviously I wasn't there, but I was listening on the radio with my dad in the car, and he was so amped up that Duke won, and I was like really pissed off, obviously, as everyone was. But that's a moment I'll forever remember. I wasn't even there, and I was like literally so mad.
All right. So this turned from best moments to most.
Yeah, I was going to say, they lost.
It's iconic.
Yeah, that is iconic.
But it is iconic.
No, that's a good
one. Not going to win the draft, but it's iconic.
Yeah, I'll never forget that moment. I was at the Autry's house, and me and Jimmy were just, and Adrian were in the basement watching, and I don't think I said a word for like 2 hours. I think I just sat there, and it took me a while to comprehend what just happened, but you know, at first I was mad at my dad because I was like, we could have maybe won it still. But then I was like, all right, like, this is how he is. But I loved it. I loved it at the end of the day. And that's how he is. And, you know, at Duke, you're probably going to get 20% of the calls. So that's just how it is. And he knew that. And he would let people know. Other people probably wouldn't, but he would be the first to say that. So
big time.
I can respect that from, you know, that's just who he is. All right, I'm gonna go a little more.
You have two picks now.
I got two picks.
Back to back.
Yeah, you got two back to
back. Can I pass one off for later? I
gotta trade one with Lewis.
Yeah. I'll trade a late pick, but first one, the other one that came in my mind, gotta go with is the 2016. I'm gonna go the run, just the whole run. You know, I would say the game against Virginia, but would be the highlight. But just that whole run. I think, you know, Trevor was one of my favorite players. You know, I was getting older and I really was close with him, and he was just fun. He was a shooter. You know, what I wanted to be, played extremely hard. Getting Michael Benajay from Duke and just seeing how good he was, moving him to the one. He was playing the four at Duke, and now, you know, he's a 6'6 point guard, and just the year he had was unbelievable. And just seeing that team, you know, light in and just the big shots that run had and that final.
But speaking of the big shots there, what's your number one favorite moment of the run? If you had to pick one play.
Oh my God, that's tough. Wow.
Or one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I have one that I know you're not going
to
say.
It's the Maui shot, and after it pans over to me, Griff.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about. You and Snick going insane.
Snick, Griff Hopkins, and my sister, and like it's just like I'm in a full yell. Like Griff and Snick are like,
Snick is completely losing.
Oh, he's losing. Snick loses his mind, and that was the best part of the game. Is like we would like be tackling each other during the games. Like it was just
so funny.
It was our life. Like that, we felt like we were in the game. Like yeah. It was unbelievable. And then just like,
Snick in that video kills me.
Snick's the best. Yeah, he was. Oh man, he would get just as upset as me after those games. I love having him there. But
Still does.
But. My dad, you know, that was one of his favorite moments for sure in his career. He'd say just how proud he was of that group and emotional and just, you know, having a guy like Trev, his fifth year, Benajay come in. He loved Tyler Lydon, Maui stepping up. You know, a guy like Daywan Coleman from the area, went to the same high school as me. And just being an 11 seed, beating Gonzaga, then Virginia. Virginia had Malcolm Brogdon, Parentes. They were loaded. And
yeah, they were nice.
We were down 17. When you're down 10 to Virginia, it feels like you're down 30. So yeah. To do that, unbelievable. So that's my second one.
You got another one here. Yeah, you're on the clock.
You're killing me with this, bro. Man. Oh, man. Fun time for me. I'm going to go Tyler Ennis, 25-0 start.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
Just, you know,
that was my next one.
I remember Tyler coming in and we went to Canada before the season and we went out there, played two good teams and just seeing, you know, I was like, all right, he's going to be pretty good. Everyone was like, he'll be pretty good. And then it was just like, man, I've never watched someone on a court and just look, he was in control of every play. And just as a freshman, it was unbelievable. You know, they had an early round loss in the tournament, but starting off 25-0 the way they did some of those games, the Pittsburgh shot.
Yeah, specifically the Pittsburgh shot.
Yeah. Oh, it's got to be the pick. We'll put that on the graphic for you. Yeah. Oh, it's unbelievable.
Party or whatever, freshman team party, and everyone was leaving, and I watched it with my mom and was just screaming and running around the house with some of the teammates, and yeah, that run was amazing. So that's, you know, that was a good time to be in Syracuse. So that's my three. It's solid. It's more.
Yeah, that's a good lineup.
I chose more my time. You know, right. I would go way back, but I'm not too familiar with that stuff and wasn't around for it. But you know, these are for the newer generation of fans, past 20 years.
All right, Adam, close it out.
If we're going like personal moments, and speaking of Buddy Boeheim moments, I got to talk about when I was a freshman here. Wow.
Complete pander job.
No, I'm gonna explain.
No, I mean this is deserving of a pick, but
the transfer portal opens and Cole. No, I'm just kidding.
yeah, yes, sir.
This is of your life.
That's great.
The March Madness run, Sweet 16. I like you just said though, there was like that's the best time to be in Syracuse. That's the best time I've ever had here in 3 years. You know, there was like the tournament was canceled the year before and it was just no one expected you guys make a run. And, you know, the first take story we told on the podcast like 6 months ago or whatever. Like, it was just a great week. And I got to end out the draft like that, even if that makes me lose. That was my favorite memory ever.
Hey, man, I love that. Appreciate that. Yeah,
No, that's a great pick. That's a phenomenal pick. But
I mean, that's better than your other two picks. I'm not going to lie. I don't think
I thought it might drop because of the people we've got in the room. So, I don't know.
No, I like that. I appreciate that. That means a lot. It's a true fan right there.
All right. I think it's to me, correct? So, Johnny Flynn Dunk.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah, not much explanation needed. I could easily take another GMAC moment, but I'll do that for honorable mention. Swider, close it out.
Man, I'm running through a couple in my mind to close out.
Oh, here we go. You're right. You're rushing me off the podium, and then you're taking your time. Okay, all right.
this is a big memory for me. This was either, I think this was 2014. Duke's coming in. This is when they had when Rodney Hood missed the dunk and Syracuse.
Oh yeah,
won that game.
It was a block.
Yeah, easily a block.
Rakeem blocked it.
That moment was such a memorable moment of my childhood. Probably one of the best games I've ever watched.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
The dome that made me want to go to Syracuse after that. You know what I mean? Was seeing after that game, seeing the dome and the moments after that. So yeah.
Suleiman had like 30 that game.
Suleiman was...
Yeah, he was going crazy.
CJ had a huge game.
I remember watching... They have a little short documentary of like the day before that game of Coach Boeheim in practice, like the whole lead up to the game.
Yeah,
like,
watch that.
And yeah, so...
That's fine.
That's probably my number three pick, and I'm closing out the draft like that.
Yeah, I thought that went well. There's a lot of different directions there, a lot of layup picks, but I thought that was a very good draft. All right, bud. It's 2:11 Eastern.
Yeah,
right now.
I appreciate it.
We appreciate you joining us. That went a little longer than expected with the draft, but I mean, I think we went through every pick that executed perfectly because you have the most like personal cool stories for every single pick. So, but yeah, everyone tune in ESPN Plus Thursday night. South Bay Lakers, Motor City Cruise. I know we'll be tuned in.
The battle of the best.
Yeah.
That's bad.
But we appreciate you again. Can't wait for episode 3 with you.
Yeah, guys. Appreciate it again. It's always fun to be on here. Love what you guys are doing. And, yeah, keep doing it. It's awesome.